and welcome back to Blog Talk Radio Live here on Coaching with Carrie. I'm super excited to continue on in my Delivering Customer Value series. We're talking about enhancing your value and getting paid for what you're worth. And the reality is that customer service and value pricing are conversations you should be thinking about having with yourself and things you should be thinking about for your business at all times. The reality is, and we talked about this last week, is that a lot of people get caught up in trying to determine what they should charge the customer, but really they should be focused on the value that they provide the customer. Why? Well, because when the value is clear, the pricing is clear. When someone talks about pricing, you know, we think you should first talk about customer value, and when someone asks you what you charge, we think you should answer with what you do. Always be clear about what you do and be able to articulate it, because that is what's going to get you paid the money that you're worth. It's going to be what keeps you customers, what gets you referrals, and keeps your business going strong forever. So last week was the first session of this series, and we just talked about why we want to talk about customer service and value pricing, what the point is, and that's what I just reiterated to you right now. And then understanding customer value and understanding what customer value means and how to deliver it, and why does customer value matter, which of course it does, and why you should take the fiduciary position, why you should understand that you need to set, service, satisfy, and surpass expectations. Those are the four components of customer service, by the way. And so that's what we talked about, along with your value proposition. What really is your value proposition? What does value proposition even mean? How that's different from your unique selling proposition, but what is your value proposition? I hope many of you who listened in last week went back and created your value proposition. If you haven't done that, I really encourage you to do it. You can listen to my recorded session from last week if you want to listen to that to understand what a value proposition is, what sellers and buyers really want most, and how you can present a value proposition around that. That is how you're going to close deals, you guys. That's how you're going to make customers happy. That's how you're going to get repeat business. So if you didn't listen to that series live last week, or if you haven't listened to that recorded session, I hope you do. And today we're going to move into the second part of this. So after you present your value proposition, it's super important for you to listen to your customers' concerns, right? You need to seek first to understand. We always hear that, and it's true. That should be the attitude that you take. People don't care so much about what you know until they know how much you care, and that really is the truth. This is critical to remember when you set expectations. So remember that one of the biggest mistakes agents make during presentations is not really listening to the buyer or seller and not really hearing what the customers say or mean. Listening doesn't occur after you ask something. So here should be your goals of listening, right? Notice what customers say, but not only what they say, notice how they say it, and then you need to figure out what they really mean, right? The truth is that buyers and sellers have rarely thought through what they really want, need, or expect. So you never should accept what customers say at face value. And the more experienced you are, the more you should realize this. Asking the right questions does become critical. It's going to help them clarify their thinking, right? You need to probe three questions deep to uncover their real estate wants, needs, or expectations. And that's really important. So some examples might be, can you give me an example of that? So keep digging deeper. Let them become more clear. As they talk through it, they become more clear in their mind, and you get to really understand what they truly do want and need. You might also ask a question like, what are some of the reasons that's important to you? Things like that. So dig deep. Customers' answers to your questions may reveal, you know, contingencies, issues, and they wouldn't have mentioned those before, you guys, if you didn't ask these questions. So uncovering concerns will definitely allow you to deal with them before they become a problem. And ultimately, that's going to lead to better overall outcome for you and your customer, which really is going to lead to a better experience and what is going to make them happy with the customer experience they've had with you. So the third component of setting expectations, you guys, is seeking agreement, right? So agents take one of three approaches when setting expectations and seeking agreement, it seems. Number one, they're either completely rigid. Number two, they're either completely flexible, or number three, they're rigid with strategic flexibility. And we believe the best option is having a rigid service program with a flexible service attitude. So let me explain. Agents often make the mistake of being completely rigid or completely flexible with the services that they offer. That's very, very common. Being rigid in your service means this is what I do and it's all you need. That's the expectation or the attitude set by the realtor. The other side of the token, service flexibility, is I'll do whatever you want me to do, no matter what it is. And that's what we see is very, very common in our industry with realtors. However, we believe, like I said, that the best option is actually having a rigid service program, but being flexible with your service attitude. Great value propositions really combine these very, very well. And combining both positions can help both the agent and the customer accomplish their goals is what we're finding. So how do you do that? Well, all great value propositions are presented with that well-defined, rigid service plan, but then empowered flexibility, which is basically an awareness of what can be added as needed for that particular unique individual or situation. There's companies in other industries that are legendary for their flexibility, right? However, if you were to fully accept the myth of their absolute service flexibility, you'd miss the underlying truth of their service rigidity, right? So here's how it goes. They have strict standards and procedures for how certain things are done, there's no doubt. And that is, in fact, why you should go to those companies. But should the need arise, you fully expect them to also accommodate your special request with reasonable flexibility that are within their capabilities. In truth, you come to expect both the predicted experience delivered by that rigid service program that they have with the additional experience of being treated uniquely. For example, a 5-star hotel, we've all stayed at one, right? They'll have rigid standards about how its employees are to greet customers, prepare their rooms, you name it. But every time you visit these establishments, you will expect to be greeted in the same way, have your room prepared the same way, have the same service, right? Yet the legend of flexibility arises from when these 5-star establishments are confronted with problems and special requests. Their flexibility in these strategic moments has come to define them more than their service plan, even though the service plan encompasses 99% of the average guest's experience. So think about that. Successful agents are rigid with the service program that they provide, but they are willing to provide an additional service if it's possible to do so. In this regard, successful agents are like successful companies who are legendary for their flexibility when dealing with its customers, just like I mentioned. And so good companies have strict standards and procedures for service delivery. That is why customers do business with them. If a need arises, customers expect the company to accommodate any special request with reasonable flexibility if it's possible. We all expect the predictable customer experience delivered by a rigid service program while having our unique needs met by a flexible service approach. We all do. And so that is what you should be providing your clients as well. So now that I've covered setting expectations, it's kind of time to turn our attention to servicing the expectations, all right? So we really need to use our unique value proposition to set expectations with our customers, right? So there's a great exercise that you can do on your own, which basically is, you need to make sure that you can present your value proposition, that you've got that down, you've got materials for it. You need to ask the questions, dig deep, so listen to customer concerns, and then you need to seek agreement. And so the reality is that seeking agreement is going to be, everybody's going to do it a little bit differently, but you need to do that, right? Once you seek the agreement, now we need to service the expectations. So servicing expectations is the next step in delivering the customer value, right? You do what you say you'll do, and you need to do it well. So at this point, you and your customer have agreed on what services you will provide. After you prepare your value proposition, you listen to their needs, you dig deep and ask questions, and you seek agreement on what you're going to do. Everybody's in agreement. Now you need to do what you say you'll do, and you need to do it well. And hopefully you've agreed upon like an actual service strategy that follows a program so they know what to expect, right? But then remember, you should have some selective, flexible service opportunities in there as well for their specific situation. You need to remember this. What does meeting service expectations really mean? And I've said it twice now. It really means doing what you agreed to do, but not just that. It means that you're doing it well at the same time, right? So some of us are just like, you know what? Hey, I did what I said I was going to do. Well, that's correct, and you should also do it well. So doing what you say you'll do sounds simple, like I said, but it's often not clear what that means. So we start off by providing service to a preset standard of what we set, right? We call that standard doing it well. We are, in essence, satisfying our own standards. But later, after we've provided the service, we check off with our customer against their expectations, and we need to see if we met their standards, and we call this satisfying the customer. So people conduct business with people they trust. That's the truth, right? And your integrity is challenged every single time you fail to deliver on what you'll say you'll do. So you need to build trust by following through on everything that you promise and realize that when you fail to follow through, you have undermined the trust that you have with them. That's a big deal, and you have to work to restore that trust. The only way to create referral and repeat business, you guys, is to build and reinforce a trusting relationship with your clients. So doing what you say you'll do is extremely important. And that's what integrity means, is doing what you say you'll do or upholding your service promise, right? Keeping your word and walking your talk. When what you do doesn't match what you say you'll do, you do have an integrity issue. So make sure that what you say you're doing, you are doing. So let's not talk now about how you do the things you'll say you do, because that is about doing it well. We believe that there are six service areas: standards, communication, mindset and image, technology, systems, and leverage. So doing what you said you do and doing it well go hand in hand. In other words, there is no way to separate them because they happen simultaneously. When you do something in the manner in which you do it becomes synonymous with the doing, right? In the remainder of what I'm going to talk about, we're going to talk about these six service areas that impact how well you do things. So standards. You need to establish standards that define not only your end result, your expectations for a service outcome, but also your expectations for how that service is delivered. The number two service area, communication, you need to communicate with your customer regularly. It has to be predictable and it has to be clear. So you need to set up a system for that so that you are regularly communicating with them. It is predictable to them and it's extremely clear. So mindset and image, you need to manage your mindset, you guys, all the time by nourishing your mind with positive thoughts, affirmations. We've talked about this. I've coached on this in many series past. You need to always be managing your mindset. And you need to project a professional image to teach people how to think about you. That's just the bottom line. That's the business we're in. Number four, technology. You need to empower your customer and yourself, by the way, by providing suitable technology. You have to. If you are behind the times in technology and marketing, you need to make a concerted effort to either hire somebody who knows more about that, hire a consultant, learn yourself, take some classes. It's your job. And it's something that you cannot fall behind in. Partner with a company that can train you, whatever the case may be. Number five, systems. You need to develop processes and systems to provide that consistent service and increase customer confidence in your ability to serve them. I think I talked about this in the last session. There's a company, and there are many. I'm not endorsing this and I don't get paid. I just know a lot of my top agents that I coach use it. For example, Brivity, which you can look online, is a customer management tool. It's a technology. You set the expectations. You put your service areas in there. You assign them to yourself or anybody else in your team that's responsible for those. You track it. It's a checklist. You don't miss any of the things that you need to do for any customer, any buyer, any seller. And by the way, they're being communicated when all these things are being done. So you're having constant, consistent, predictable communication and clear communication with your customer, and you're making sure that you're doing everything that you said that you'll do. It helps you to do it and do it well. So it doesn't have to be complex, and there are systems and there are technologies that you can use to make sure that you're doing things correctly. Lastly, leverage. You need to build a team that shares your service standards. If you're building a team, they all have to share your service standards. You need to make sure it's clear that the service that you provide your clients is non-negotiable, and that they need to be projecting that same service level. So you must first set the standards that define your service, as we talked about. And a standard is the yardstick of your performance. So we've heard the phrases, we have high standards, that meets our standards, that measures up to our standards. Okay, so when you say this is the service I intend to provide, the danger is that you may or may not have defined the manner in which you intend to provide it. You've said you're going to do it, but you haven't said how well you're going to do it. And the customer deserves to know both how and how well you're going to provide the service. So when you tell your customer what you're going to do, remember to include your standards, how well you're going to do it, exactly what you're going to do. And make sure everyone works with your standards at all times that are on your team, as I mentioned. Most of you are familiar with the acronym SMART, probably. You've probably heard about this because we've talked about SMART goals, SMART operations, and it's an acronym, S-M-A-R-T. Well, we actually have SMART as it also applies to standards. So use these guidelines to implement your own standards. You can write this down if you want. So S-M-A-R-T, S standing for specific, M standing for measurable, A standing for accomplishable, R standing for relevant, and T standing for timely. Your standards should be specific. They need to be measurable. They actually absolutely need to be accomplishable. They have to be relevant, and they need to be timely. Specific standards define a precise and definite description of the quality of service that you intend to deliver. That's why it has to be specific. Of course, measurable standards, well, they're easily evaluated so that you can stay on track with your service delivery. And accomplishable standards can easily be achieved, and obviously they can consistently be followed, and that's key. Relevant standards are significant to your customer, and timely standards ensure service delivery in the time frame that the customer wants and needs. So if you work in a team, your standards must be carried out and enforced by your team members. So you always must set measurable and achievable service standards for yourself and for your team, and you need to train yourself and your team to achieve those standards in the same way. You need to measure your standards regularly with the team, and you need to ask your team members to fill each other's buckets during the weekly meeting, you guys. Publicly recognize your team members' achievements of customer satisfaction goals. Reward service success among your team and recognize those accomplishments. That is what's going to keep your service levels high amongst all your team members. By the way, your vendor's performance and accountability should also reflect your standards. If you're in the real estate business, your mortgage professional, your title, your inspector, your home warranty, et cetera, make vendors accountable to your standards. Only work with people you trust. Create a vendor coordination worksheet that actually talks about what your standards are and how you'll work together. By the way, working with people you trust will remove 90% of your potential problems. That's why you need to trust your vendors. And your vendors have to be as competent and as service-minded as you. Make sure you recommend vendors that follow your standards on returning phone calls within a certain time frame, on delivering on customer service, that have some flexibility to make those changes and those moves for your clients when necessary. And you need to follow up with your vendor after they've completed a task and review their work and make sure you want to be partnered with them. It's part of your job. It's your reputation on the line. Review their work with your customers to determine if the work was done satisfactorily to your clients as well, maybe in a survey-type situation or just as you're talking to them at closing, and continually assess if your recommended vendors reflect your competence, you guys. As your business grows, your vendor's business will have to grow as well to keep meeting your standards. So in real estate, we've heard it. It's location, 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 right? Well, in real estate customer service, guess what it is? It's communication, communication, communication. Customers seldom feel that they get too much communication. I don't think as a realtor you've probably ever been told that you communicate to your clients too much. In fact, one of the most common complaints is that they're not getting enough communication. That is one of the top complaints of customers that are working with a real estate professional. And so proper and timely communication, you guys, it is critical. And what it does is it allows you to set and manage these expectations like we've talked about. And it creates that peace of mind for your customer that I talked about is so necessary for them in that first session that I did. It demonstrates your professionalism, which absolutely you need to be, and it enhances your credibility. Lastly, it will provide a strong foundation for a satisfying relationship between you and your customer that will last well beyond this one transaction, which is ultimately what you need to do to build a strong business. So let's talk about communication. You have to be tactful when you're communicating, okay? And so I want you to think about the word tactful. And think about the letters, T-A-C-T-F-U-L, they stand for something. And these are the guidelines that will help you communicate effectively with your customers. So T, think before you speak, you guys. Always think about what you're going to say before you say it. A is apologize quickly when you do make a mistake. If you make a mistake, correct it right away, but you need to offer an apology. C, you need to converse. Do not compete. Don't compete with your customers. You need to speak in a conversational manner and be respectful. Timing, that's T in the tactful, the second T. Time your comments, you guys. Timing is everything, especially when you're communicating with another person. So think that through. And then F is for focusing on behavior. You need to pay attention to behavior, both yours, by the way, and your customers. Be astute. Know what they're, feel what they're feeling and be very much attentive to that. U is uncovering hidden feelings. You need to use those probing questions, you guys, to uncover hidden feelings because people don't always tell you what they're really thinking. And lastly, L, listen for feedback. You need to listen to everything your customer has to say, and you need to learn from that feedback, you guys. If you don't learn from it, you're not improving your business. And why are you even doing it then? What you say matters, you guys. How do you usually respond when your customer thanks you, for example? Well, what you say really matters. When your customer thanks you for something that you've done, what do you say? A lot of people say no problem. But what does this really evoke? this basically makes the other person feel like nothing. They know that doing your job is just not a problem. There is no question that what you say matters the most, but how you say it is also a close second. But with the words you use, you can create a neutral feeling or you can create a positive feeling. So always choose your words with your desired outcome in mind. So let's change that. When your customer says thank you for something that you've done, instead of saying no problem, if you changed it and said my pleasure, here's what that evokes. It evokes a positive feeling and a sense of appreciation, and that will change the mindset of your customer. So you need to be thinking about what you say back to your customers as much as how you say it. Communication is greatly affected, like I said, by the words that we use. It also is affected by our tone of voice and our body language. In fact, how you say something and what you're doing while you say it can have a far greater impact than what you actually say. And so we think about our communication message, but we don't always think about how our customer receives our message. So there are three main components of how someone receives your message. What you say, or the words you use, which you do need to think about, how you say it, or your tone of voice, so definitely keep that in mind, and lastly, what you're doing while you do it, or your body language. It's important to remember how all of these factors affect your communication process. Just be aware of it. So be conscious and aware of the nonverbal messages like eye contact, gestures, and, of course, appearance. When communicating by phone, you guys, this is going to be particularly important because your tone of voice is so important on the phone. It's all that the person has, right? They can't see your body language, your eye contact, or your appearance, or any of your gestures. So when talking on the phone, which many of you do, your tone of voice becomes much more important. And so many experienced agents practice smiling when they're talking on the phone. They stand up, which also helps keep them focused and keep their energy up, and I encourage both of those things. Here are some tips for effective communication. Number one, set expectations for that regular communication like I talked about, right? You need to educate your buyers and sellers on what time you will be returning phone calls and emails each day. That's why a system is so important. Every Friday, I give showing feedback. Every Wednesday afternoon, I touch base with my sellers, and I send them an update on what's going on in the market, homes that have sold in their area, new active listings that are their competition. Every Monday, I send a voicemail off just greeting them for the week, telling them to have a great week, and checking in with them. I'm giving you some examples of what you might do, but it should be consistent, it should be regular, it should be time-blocked, and you should do the same thing every single week for every single seller or buyer. It should be systematized because that's how you set the expectations for the regular communication, is by having standards, right, by having a schedule. Then you educate them on what time you're going to be doing these things, and then you have to, of course, actually do it. Determine their overall preferred communication method, by the way, you guys. Don't just assume that they like a text message or they like a phone call. You need to ask them what they prefer. And regardless of their overall preferred method, though, always match their communication method at any particular time. So, for example, if they call you and leave a message, don't return it with an email. If you need to return it with a phone call. If they text you, don't pick up the phone and call them. Text them back. Now, you need to call them even if you do not have anything to update. This is one of the biggest errors that realtors make. Let them know you have nothing to tell them, but that you still wanted to give them an update. No news, you guys, is still news to them. They do not want to not hear from you. They don't know what that means. Always, always return phone calls and emails as soon as possible, obviously. As you'll see in a minute, top agents do distinguish themselves by how quickly they respond to their existing customers. It is a customer satisfaction. If you don't do that, if your assistant does it, just make that a high service standard. Have some auto-reply on email. Have a voicemail if you're going to be out, so people are knowing why you're not responding quickly if you happen to be out at a training or on vacation, something of that nature. Never talk down to your customers, you guys. Although you may be the real estate expert, they are paying your commission, right? So being condescending never works. You're here to consult and educate them, not talk down to them. You need to also track key communication. When something significant happens, it's in your best interest to record it for a variety of reasons. Here we go. This is my favorite. You need to be enthusiastic. It is contagious. It boosts your customers' enthusiasm, even if things aren't going well. By the way, that's a choice. I've talked about that before in my Motivation Mondays. You might not feel enthusiastic, but if you say you're enthusiastic and you start acting enthusiastic, guess what? You'll become enthusiastic, and so will the people around you. When you have something to share with them, they are going to accept what you have to say much better if it comes in an enthusiastic and happy tone. And so when communicating, just remember your attitude matters. Now, when you're communicating to couples, don't focus on one without the other. Don't assume one person is in the couple makes most of the decisions. That can be a very big mistake, and I see agents do that all the time. You need to treat them equally, depending, and it doesn't even matter who is going to be the decision maker. That's a really important one. So the importance of response time, you guys, let's talk about that a little further. Buyers and sellers frequently complain about agents not responding to their communication in a timely manner. And according to a study conducted, a while ago in one of the Association of Realtors, it was like 26% of buyers indicated that their agent's respond time surpassed or exceedingly surpassed their expectations. This should get your attention. Timely and constant communication increases the perception of your service level because it leads to less guesswork on their part, right? So back in the fall a few years ago, they surveyed, the same association surveyed more than 550 top producers in the area on their response times with their customers. And here's a few of kind of some of the data. So 62% of top producers responded to phone calls to existing customers within an hour or less. That's a big deal. 19% responded in 1 to 2 hours, which means 81% responded in 2 hours or less. These agents know how important it is to make customers feel important and informed, and that's why they're top producers, so we need to learn from them. Now, after regular business hours, top producers took a little longer to respond, but 55% returned customer phone calls in 4 hours or less, and 38% responded by the end of one business day, which, while only like 7% took more than a business day. So the reality, again, is almost 93% of those agents responded in a business day, even after business hours or on weekends or whatever the case may be. So here's the other thing, interestingly. Agents were only slightly less responsive to emails than phone calls, and I think that's probably even changed here in the last year just because more communication is done via email. But during business hours, most agents, like, you know, basically 76%, responded in just a couple hours or less. Again, we can learn from top producers because they understand what is important, and what we're seeing here is the vast majority of top producers are responding in a very, very timely manner. So agents that work in teams are doing so many times to provide better customer service, right? And so the idea is that you need to make sure that if you do have a team, you're talking to your customers about who they're going to talk to about what, so they don't feel like they just want to talk to the head agent or you, and then they feel like they're being passed off. So just make sure you set the expectations on how you and your team will communicate with them and why you're going to do it, that it's a value proposition, that you're doing it to provide them with better service. And then, by the way, once you set that expectations, that's what they come to expect. They're absolutely more than okay with it. They love the service, and you'll move forward in a positive way. If you're starting a team, keep this in mind. It's the biggest thing that people have a fear about, is turning their clients on to their team members or feeling like their customers are going to feel like they're passing them off. It's all about setting expectations, you guys, and sharing with them why you're doing it, to benefit them, to provide them with better service. That's why you're doing it. So it doesn't feel like you're passing the baton, right? It feels like you are providing them better service by offering people who are good at what they do, and you can respond faster, communicate better, have good systems, and make their experience better overall. So that is very, very important. I know I get a lot of questions on the teams. Here's one more thing about doing it well, and then we're going to be wrapping up here shortly. Never underestimate the power of the personal touch, you guys. You need to send appropriate thank you notes, handwritten or email, as often as you can during and after the transaction. Carry thank you notes with you. Write them during any downtime that you have. It is so important. It can go such a long way. You need to convert some of your impersonal communication, you know, your forms, your texting, by inserting a quick uplifting note or applicable comment, something that will personalize the message for your customers. And writing a personalized comment doesn't have to be hard, you guys. A few uplifting words, something about, you know, one thing that they mentioned to you. By the way, social media is an amazing tool to be in tune with your clients, to see what they're going through, to see what's happening in their life. Maybe they have somebody graduating and you didn't even know it. Maybe their child had a baby and they didn't even mention it to you. But if you could say something to them that's personal, congratulating them, offering them some uplifting words of something that they might be going through, it goes a long way. It's about caring about them, not only professionally, but personally as just a person, as a human being, and really focusing on developing that relationship. What you say is not as critical as the fact that you took the time to demonstrate that you care to your customers, by the way. So don't focus so much on exactly what words you should say. Just let say what you feel like saying, that isn't really what's going to matter to them. Not everyone, by the way, wants the same type or same style of communication, so you just need to understand that. So if you're working with somebody that's a Gen X, baby boomers, they're going to be different than somebody that is, in their 20s, right? So you just need to be aware of that. How do they communicate and what do they want from you? Be aware of cultural differences, behavior styles, and learning styles. All of these things you need to become an expert on. And just adjust your communication accordingly. There's different trainings that you can attend to understand these things, and I highly recommend that you do that. I promise you, your business will go through the roof if you can understand people, if you can understand the differences in people and how to work with everyone. You will see huge increase in your business year over year. I want us to kind of end here with 5 simple communication rules. Number one, never, ever, and don't violate these, by the way. Ask great questions and really, really listen to their answers, you guys, and dig deep. Ask great questions. Write them down. Practice them. Think about them all the time. Number two, you need to tell your customers what you're going to do. Get them to reveal what they want you to do. Get agreement. Set those expectations. Communicate weekly, and when something significant happens, you need to keep them informed. And remember, call them even if you have nothing to say. If there's bad news, you need to get over it quickly. You need to get on quickly, and you need to move on to problem solving, so they need to know about it right away. Don't prolong that. Don't procrastinate that. And number five, if you're not sure if they need to know something, play it safe again and tell them anyway. And the next service area is managing your mindset and your professional image, and we're going to talk about that in the next session. But today, I just want to remind you guys, there's so much opportunity. These things should be common sense, and we say them out loud and we go, of course we know these things. But in our every single day, in our daily life, personally, professionally, do we really do these things? Most of us don't. We need to create a system. We need to create set standards. We need to understand the importance of communication. We need to understand the importance of our service. And I love these sessions because this is stuff that, like I said, should be common sense. We feel like it is, and yet we listen to this and we go, why don't we do these things? Or if we do them, we don't do them consistently. By the way, consistency is key to almost everything that you do. Consistency is going to be key to much of your success. And so by having this put in front of you and actually creating things, writing this down, and turning this quote-unquote common sense stuff into your daily plan is going to be what gets you to a point where you have a database of raving fans, where you have past clients, repeat customers, constant referrals, amazing vendor partner relationships that are creating more business opportunities for you. And the list goes on and on. But without enhancing your value, without providing top-notch customer service and understanding the value customers put on that customer service, that will never happen for you, and it will never happen to the highest level that it possibly could. So next week on Friday, again at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, right back here on Blog Talk Radio and Coaching with Carrie, we're going to talk about the next service area in terms of your mindset. Your mindset and your image and how important those things are. We're also going to talk about the use of technology and the systems that you need to put in place, specifically along with leverage, in order to make sure that you do what you say you're going to do and you do it well. That is what we're going to talk about next time. I look forward to seeing you back here on Blog Talk Radio on Coaching with Carrie next Friday, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. In the meantime, if you'd like any of the information on this particular coaching series, if you'd like samples and examples, if you'd like this particular book, please let me know. I'd be happy to get you this content in any way. All you need to do is find me. My Twitter handle, CarrieHKW. You can email me at CarrieH@KW.com. Find me on Coaching with Carrie on Facebook. Whatever is easier for you, reach out to me. I'm happy to help. I look forward to talking to you next time. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. It's productive, fun, you find some balance, and I will see you next time. Thanks so much for joining me again, you guys. Make it a great day. Bye-bye.